Well, come back to Dr. Fred Bell's Saturday night live taped continuation of the seminar series from 5 weeks ago. Let's see, at least 5 weeks ago. We're going to continue right on where we left off in a heretofore never released without pay for seminar. This is November 1st, 2008. We're broadcasting from somewhere high in the Palomar Mountains. And we are glad to welcome you back to the Health, Science, and Energy Show again. So without further ado, and we'll be playing every Saturday night, we'll have these shows again like we did in the past. They're all lots of fun. So here we go. Off into the wild, Dr. Fred Bell.
So whenever you're assimilating something,
there he is.
Let's say if you're taking in some amino acids to build up your adrenals, for example, which would be like phenylalanine would be a good one to build your adrenal. Like, I mean, you want to start jogging, but you just can't get going in the morning. Vitamin C, phenylalanine, and B6. Boom. Hot toddy. You're cranking out there after a few days. And not recommended for people with high blood pressure, but anybody else, it's fun. So you put a ruby on. You throw a ruby on, a ruby receptor, and phenylalanine and C and B6, and you got legal speed. I mean, you will be cranking, you know. So you can direct where you want that energy to go. And the way that that works, it's so fine and so pure in its force, it's deadly to the body. The body just has to respond. It has no choice. If you take homeopathic medicine and you take a 10X solution, it's diluted 10 times in water or alcohol, depending on what the solution is, to make it work on the body. If you take a 1000X, which is 10 times or 100 times more powerful in a homeopathic remedy, it's diluted that much more. It doesn't have 10 times more of the poison in it that they use. It has 10 times or 100 times more water in it by volume and 100th less of the poison. So it's more diluted, but it's a pure form of poison. Because homeopathic medicine is like cures like. And so you use poisons to fight poisons in the body. That's what's in those different solutions they use. So the receptor works the same way. It creates a very pure line of force in exactly that frequency that it needs. And then it shoots it into the aura. When you use it with a pyramid, it makes a good combination if you balance them right. Like, I wouldn't put a diamond receptor on in a silver power dome. That's insanity. I mean, you would become incoherent after a while. You'd get going so fast. One or the other. You know, I'd put a gold receptor on with a light soft stone in it and maybe an emerald or something, and then put on the silver one. The different stones we use two types. We use a synthetic, which is a natural laboratory-grown stone with all the chemical characteristics of a natural. And in about 50% of the therapeutic cases, the synthetic is a better stone than a natural because it's clearer in its frequency. But once you get into the frequencies, like, for example, I oftentimes wear blue. I alternate between blue, green, and the meteorite thing that I have. So when I'm wearing, for example, blue, I used to wear just a nice blue synthetic sapphire. But now I like a natural sapphire, but I like a lighter colored one because it works, it filters that color of blue through the body better, through the hydrogen in them, so then all the cells are changed. So you get people that want lapis, or you get people that get into certain kinds of amethyst, or people that get in different shades of ruby or citron. They are people usually that order these custom stones, or they'll muscle test on these stones, and they want that tint, they want a hue, they want an off-frequency color, and that's what they need. I mean, it works fine for them, and that's where the natural stones come in. But we don't, as a stock receptor, provide them with natural stones. The silver ones pull radiation out of the body a little bit faster than the cadmium, and a little bit quicker, to the point where they become slightly radioactive. So you have to take the silver ones once a week and rinse them off with water, and, you know, hose them off. And it's the same thing they would tell you, you know, if you were in a nuclear fallout, you know, from a bomb somewhere that blew over and landed in Laguna Beach, and they got it all over, they go take a shower. The water washes that shit away. It's the same thing here. You got to clean the silver up with water. And so once in a while, you have to, if you use the wrong water, it'll tarnish it, then you have to polish it. So then we have another type of receptor we make, which is a solid gold. We only use 18 karat. Anything below 18 karat is not a pyramid structure. Anything higher is too soft. It'll get dinged up. So we use 18. We make them in white gold and we make them in yellow gold. And I happen to have the yellow one, but we do have it at home. I think we've got one of the white gold ones if you want to look at it. This is, and I have one at home that's got like that little canary diamond, little yellow diamond in it, off-color diamond, which is kind of cute. With the gold ones and some of the silver ones, we'll stud the bridge. And when you do that, we use a VBS1 blue-gray diamond on the bridge like this one has. And what this does is it pumps up the frequency of the stone that's in there and makes it more noticeable. But at the same time, it doesn't give you the same energy would if you had a big diamond sitting out there. So it doesn't make you speedy by putting diamonds on the bridge. These are usually custom-made receptors of this type. So these are the basic ones that we're using. Now, when you get from the headgear pyramids, then we go into the sleeping pyramids. The sleeping pyramids block radiation forms and allow you to go asleep at night from your make the transition from your heavy sleep to your detoxifying sleep into your rapid eye movement sleep. Once you've been sleeping for a couple of hours, if your body is healthy and getting some benefit from the sleep, you should be ready to go from a 2-inch aura field off the Earth's anima mundi into a 13-foot aura field, which goes all around space and time in the astral plane, whatever area you're able to reach. If your soul has never left the Earth, chances are your astral sleep is going to not take you beyond the Earth. It may go into different worlds, but they're here. They're within. And that's really important to have that form of sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, because there's people that you know that are out of body, but you may not consciously know them right now. They're not incarnated. It's necessary to get up there and communicate with them at night on the astral plane. Or you might have a teacher that's hanging out, you know, and you got to go take some lessons or something. You might have a situation where you're living in Laguna Beach, and you've never been married, or you're going to get married again, and somebody's living in Finland, and you're both going to sleep at night, and you're meeting on the astral plane, and eventually you're going to meet on the physical plane, so you need sleep for that to make that happen. And that happens a lot. And when you sleep in the pyramid, it speeds the process up. And tomorrow when we get into the systems, you can get triple charge that process. I'll show you how that's done with the radiators. But the pyramid is very important. The big pyramid is very important to sleep in. I find it necessary. Maybe some people don't. What will happen, though, when you sleep in the big pyramid, if you're toxic, is that not only detoxifies your brain, it does your whole body. And it takes about 3 months. Usually when people start detoxifying in the big pyramid during their sleep in their astral bodies, that means that when they first go to sleep, they'll really sweat and their body systems are really crank in because they're really detoxing hard. So as a result, when they get into rapid eye movement sleep, that sleep is interrupted at some point in time. And so you end up getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and hanging out for an hour or so thinking that you've got a lot of energy, only to fall asleep again later. Because that toxin, whatever it was, it burned itself up, and now you're not speeding on toxins anymore. So these are the kinds of things that happen. Usually after 3 months, you wonder why you never had a pyramid in the first place. Dreams are much brighter sleeping in a pyramid. Your dream memory is increased, and dream reentry will begin to occur. And that dream reentry is like if you're having this intense dream in the morning when you get up and you want to continue with it, you can get up and go back to bed or something and continue on with it on that day, or you can remember it and then the next night when you go to sleep, just center yourself on that dream and just completely make it vivid. You might even record it in the morning when you got up what it was about, so you can get back into that space, and when you fall asleep you'll go right on in the next night and continue on into the same dream, and you can take dreams and follow them, tremendous roads of dreams.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, I'm dreaming. When you're dreaming?
Yeah.
What does it mean when you're in the dream and you know you go, you realize that you're dreaming?
It means the gray's got you. Yeah, they got you. Big time.
Is that what it means?
No. Yeah. No, sometimes, usually, when the grays get you, you don't remember your dreams when they got you. And all of a sudden you're pregnant or something. Your period stops and you're pregnant, and all of a sudden you realize you haven't had any sex in a while. How'd this happen, you know? Things like that happen with the grays. Because the grays, they don't have a four-sided carbon atom. They got a three-sided magnesium atom in their blood. So a three-sided magnesium atom means that they can only bring down six levels of consciousness to their physical bodies, whereas we bring down seven. You know, we were created more in the image of man or God than they were. They're basically insects. The grays are. They're a hybrid insect. And if you were to take a grasshopper and put it on a planet and evolve it for 10 billion years, you'd have a very intelligent grasshopper. It would probably have its own spaceship, but it would still look like a grasshopper, you know, unless it makes some transformation. Now, this is what happened with the grays. So as a result, they're very good at what they do. And so the sixth level happens to be the astral plane. So where you go to sleep at night and dream, they hang out. And they can look into your head and read your dreams just right now. And they can go into your dreams, and they go into your dreams, they move you. They keep you, they anesthetize you while you're in your dream state and physically move your body.
You can go into other people's dreams. You
yeah,
can do that.
Sure.
Yourself, because I went in my husband's dream the other night.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I was in your dream. Do you remember? And he said, no. And I said, yeah, I'll tell you what you were dreaming. And he goes, wait a minute, shut up. What's the end of the word? Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
He says, absolutely. And you know the rest of that dream was. And he took off from the point to the point that I said, and I said, yes, that's right. And I said, don't you remember when I left? It's when you said you don't belong here. And he said that in the dream.
Yeah.
He was upset because he was inside a school.
Yeah, you wouldn't leave him alone.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't leave him alone.
Nagging all the way to the astral plane.
Were you a grand
If that happened, I'd take me a shotgun to the astral plane. That's what I'd do.
You'd have got rid of me. Didn't
yeah, I'd have gotten rid of you. I'd kick you out of there real quick. Yeah. So you can do a lot with dreams, and we do a lot with them.
Seth teaches that on his first tape.
Did you answer a question? Our question is still lingering in your arm.
Yeah.
About what happens when you wake up?
I don't know. I'm not a dream specialist. I go to Bud Hopkins or somebody that knows about this stuff.
Yeah, he's
the
best. That's
this guy over here.
Oh, are you next to the
guest?
Oh.
Yeah, some people are pretty good. I mean, I had my experiences when I was growing up with dreams. The one I'll never forget was my first physical astral projection. That was a while ago. That when we, when I was a kid, I lived at 62 or 61 Claremont Boulevard Street in Buffalo, New York, with my grandparents. And in the corner of our backyard, went to the backyard of another house that was on another street called Dorchester. And there was this girl over there that I was in love with, named Ann Rogerson. And so we always played together when we were 8, 9, 10 years old. Well, my mother moved down to Missouri, and when she moved down to Missouri, I started missing this girl. And we were living in Stuartsville, Missouri. And I'll never forget, I didn't know what you told me astral travel. I had no idea what that would have meant at the time. But it got right after that, I got into it. And that was that I went to bed in Stuartsville one night in the bed and had my nightgown on. I remember my nightgown. It was one of my grandparents giving us a blue and white nightgown, striped, like a prison suit, sort of, but more colors in it. And I woke up on the corner of Dorchester and Claremont Avenue in the fall, and it wasn't exactly warm, and I was sort of freezing, and I was in my nightgown, and I was there. I wasn't astral travel. I was physically there.
Yeah, I
know
I think that happened
too. And I walked down to Claremont Avenue and looked at my grandparents, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't going to wake them up. And then I went over to Ann's house and went up the door, and I said I wasn't going to wake her up. So I just walked around the neighborhood for half an hour. I noticed a lot of new houses, new additions going on. It's an old neighborhood. There's some houses across the street over there were building on them. And I just hung out. And finally I went up to this fire thing that sticks up with a hammer on it. And I said, well, what am I going to do? I mean, how am I going to get back? I'm stuck in Buffalo, New York at 3 o'clock in the morning in my nightgown, you know. I think I even saw some people. And then the next thing I knew, I woke up. You know, I was gone. I woke up, and my head was on the ceiling. My face was stuck up on the ceiling of this 15-foot-high ceiling, and all the bed covers had fallen off of me. And then I woke up with my face on the ceiling, and then I fell from the ceiling down to the bed, which is about 10 feet, and practically bounced off the bed. And I got up, and I was totally wide awake. You know, this is amazing. I can do this. And I looked at my feet, and they were all dirty, you know, from walking around in the leaves and stuff. That was one that I had that was very interesting. It was very real, and that was probably the heaviest astral travel I've ever done, where you take your physical body and you wake up. But I've never been able to do that ever since that one time. And then I told my mother what happened, and I just got on her case. I wouldn't let her alone until they physically got me a plane ticket, and I went up to Buffalo a few weeks later and just to check it out. Anyway, everything was exactly as I saw. The houses were being built, and this was being done, and everything was just like I'd seen it, you know. And I hadn't been there like in a year, and a lot of changes had taken place. So I even verified that one. I mean, I wouldn't get off my mother's case till they physically had me on a plane going to Buffalo. It bugged me so much. So you have those kind of experiences too, you know. So when you get into this stuff here, into these pyramids and these receptors and the vitamins and all the nutrition, then the next step is to go into systems technology. We start going into systems technology. You start playing around with fields of the earth. You start playing around not only in the anima mundi currents that we talked about, but you start playing around in the vortexes. And there's different types of systems. There's a self-help system, which is that one right there, which is set up in here now, which is the irradiator, megorb, orb on the top, some crystals, a few things like that. And there's a little booklet, a little blue booklet, the systems booklet, that you can all borrow if you haven't read it already. Take it home with you tonight or wherever you're going. And when you take that home, read it, and you'll get some idea about the self-help system. Then we have the quad system. And the quad system is when you take four irradiators and megorbs. And what you do with that is you program events to happen. You make things happen in the world. You make things happen in your own life. You make big changes. You can program them to do about anything you want. I recommend that you don't program to hurt people with them, because if you want to get rid of somebody, you're better off going out and shooting them or doing something like that rather than involving half the universe. Because if you involve half the universe, instead of payback, instead of one lifetime, it's probably going to be 100. Because it's so, you can create a lot of dharma misusing the systems, and that's another story. That's been done, but not by our people. Then we have another version of it, of this that has seven irradiators. When you get into seven irradiators, you're doing more personal work than you are world kind of work. You can do both with the seven, but you're dealing with a lot of personal stuff. You can go forward and backward in time. Things like, you know, getting lighter or heavier, astral traveling, all kinds of weird stuff that people like to do. And then you get into that. When you get into any of these bigger systems, beyond the self-help, we don't link people with the self-help, but when you get further into the systems, into the quad or the systems three, and then we even have another system that's beyond the systems three, we start networking you with other people when you start having experiences. And we put you into an international network of people that are doing different things so that you can align your experiences. Okay? We have another system, which isn't here, which Franco Bell will probably show you tonight, and that's called the Firestar system. This is a channeling communications device that's used for extraterrestrial communications. And also sometimes nature spirits and things with the lower worlds too. You can do a lot with them. It's entirely alien to this type of system here. And it's not to even be used in the same room unless you decide to use a Firestar for another application, which is an amplifier, but primarily it's not what it's used for. We have another system that you'll see up there tonight, which will be in the living room, which is called the Champagne Reflector. And it'll already have lasers on it running when you get there because it runs all the time. And what the Champagne Reflector does is it teaches your body how to see through veils. Most people are so programmed by television lines, commercials, colors of commercials, that they can't see through the illusion. And when they can't see through the illusion, then what happens is you just are not able to go into the second ether, you know, which is where everybody should be going by now. So these are the different types of systems that we have that are in the mainstream. Then we have all kinds of accessories for these systems. And once you get into the systems and start using them, then you'll start accessorizing them to your own particular needs and your own tastes. For example, we have a thing called an omnion, which you'll see up there, which has to do with working the system between the new moon and the full moon. The omnion system and the quad system that we have in our living room is the exact same one that the Dalai Lama is using in Kathmandu in one of their temples. So you have all these different types of variations, and in one seminar, you'll never assimilate everything, but at least you'll get a good understanding that there is more to it than appears to be on the surface. In the larger pyramids like this 10-footer, it's designed to go over a king-size bed. And a 9-foot pyramid that we make also will go over a king-size bed. We also have smaller pyramids like an 8-foot pyramid for a queen-size bed all the way down to a 6-foot pyramid, which will work over a regular-size bed. So we have all these different pyramids in different sizes. Over the pyramids, we use a capstone because the capstone enhances the energy of the pyramid by quite a factor. And the orb up on top also distributes the energy. We talked about that orb earlier in the space-time and gravity part of the seminar earlier today.
If you put some sort of covering over it so that it wouldn't be revealed to your guests if they came back and forth and pulled that cover off at other times, would that in any way affect its ability?
No, it won't hurt it at all. As long as it's not made out of plastic, then it would mess it up pretty bad.
If you were using natural material.
Yeah, you want to use, I don't know, what do you want to hide it from? I mean,
well, you know, you have
it's pretty hard to hide.
In your home, you know, you would.
I just put them right in the pyramid. I'd have them come through the pyramid.
Well, that's because that's your occupation, but I mean, I could just see me, political. People come in the home.
It's a therapeutical device.
Yeah.
It's a prescription device.
Yeah, and then we have another device called the Ion Shower.
Art Deco.
Yeah, Art Deco. We have a device called the Ion Shower, but I don't have any power supplies put together for those right now. They're probably a week or two away. And what happens is when you get up in the morning and you go outside and you breathe air, you know, usually it's full of carbon dioxide. So if you're in a real creative mode and you go outside, you lose your creativity. Because your aura's got carbon monoxide poisoning, and it takes another 24 hours to clean it out. So we have an ion shower that has. I might have one of the heads up there, but the power supply we don't have any. You stand underneath that, and it hits you with about 50,000 volts of negative ions and all kinds of other energies. And so as a result, it cleans your aura out real fast, so you get creative again. So you can go out, breathe carbon monoxide, and come in and flush it out of your system in a few seconds, rather than having to wait 24 hours. So that's another thing that we make.
Your ions change dramatically. Water if you keep crystals in your hands at the same time too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can play around with them. So has anybody got any questions now before we stop? I'll draw you a map. How to get to the house. The stuff that we've covered quite a bit today.
Yeah, we have this little heater here. Let's put it on again. Craig said, I forgot to introduce myself yesterday, so I'll do that real quick. My name is Frog, as everybody knows. I've been married to Fred for many years now, and we've been working together for many years, and so all along the Pleiadian contacts and starting the Andromedan contacts, I've been there to work in the systems with him, and I've seen many, many systems being put up, fires.org systems, and how there were many sightings. Whenever the fires.org system is the one you have seen downstairs in the room last night, and that's the one also where you can attract spaceships. Sightings, all those type of things. So every time we put out the Firestorm system, that has happened pretty much. Sometimes it has made the news. We have put up pyrostat systems in Germany and Greece, Athens, and many places really, in Aspen, Colorado. I was born in Germany. I've lived there most of my life. I've lived in Paris for a couple of years and studied languages, and then for the first 3 years we did a lot of lectures and workshops in Germany and Switzerland and Austria and stuff, then all the translations and interpretations back then. And we still have a big distributor in Germany, Ralph Peters, and we will be going next year to Sweden, because Sweden is really, or has been always, very, very open to all kinds of subjects, including this one here. And it's been a big, you know, like we have here the whole FX Expos and the New Age shows, and it's been a very, very big event this year. And so we've been invited to come there, and we'll be probably going to Sweden next year. And I've been, in the beginning, I've done the music project with him, played the some of the percussions and drums on the first album. And back then we performed in Germany, the first album, The Fellowship of the Sound. We did perform that with electronic drums and the synthesizers, some concerts throughout Germany and some of the states, too. We performed in Las Vegas once. And so now the new album, which you've heard last night, that's the one where it will be promoted in a completely different way now. But it's met with a manager in New York, and so they're taking it in their hands in the project band. And some of the artists will probably come together and then also play live as they promote that album. All the music really has to do again with the systems, with the Pleiadian and the Andromedan technologies, to bring those type of sounds and to induce it into your chakras, into your body, and to raise your frequency to a frequency as, you know, the one of the Pleiadians, which is very, very harmonious frequency. Here everything is based on a very, really stressful frequency. So that's why we're all so blocked many times. So all the work we do is really to counteract that, to counteract the stress, to counteract the aging process, all those type of things. And so the receptor and the systems work right in there. Now, before Fred comes, I wanted to explain that this system here, he will be explaining and talking about different types of systems. There's a self-help system, which is the system one. And then there's the quad system, which you have seen last night. It consists of four irradiators, and you've seen that in the later light show upstairs. An irradiator is this unit right over there, what you see, the curved unit. That's called an irradiator. It consists of an irradiator and a mega orb. And the mega orb is the base part. They are not connected, because you want to be able to swivel the irradiator, the top part, and direct it either toward you or outward, depending on how you want to run the systems. So those are two parts of the mega orb. In the mega orb, you will place different crystals and local stones, as Fred was mentioning yesterday. And later on, we will just go out here in the yard and pick a couple of those local stones. So you have two local stones in the mega orb, which is the base of the irradiator. Plus, you will have quartz in there, really, to generate the energy. And then, as you work with the system, you will bring minerals and all kinds of, you know, different rocks or gemstones or whatever from different parts of the world, whatever you want to feed, the energies you want to feed into the system. So the irradiator is hooked up to a power supply which generates negative ions. So then the irradiator, which works on the scale of wave technology, which Fred will explain a little bit further, that's amplified through the power supply box. So whenever you do your programming in the system, you want to turn that on to really have a lot of power coming out. And then the system consists now here of a pyramid. You don't, with a small system, you need a pyramid. When you have the quad system, you don't need to integrate the sleeping pyramid or the fortamid into that system. Each of the systems, the self-power system, also has a master crystal. A master crystal is a big point. It has to be bigger than any, and larger and bigger in weight than any other crystals in your system. And once you pick your master crystal, you really pick it for life. And I think Fred will share a story too of how he got his master crystal. So it's all very magical most of the time, how it happens and how the crystals come to you. So you have your master crystal because all the programs grow into the master crystal. Without the master crystal, you can't do programming. So if you do want to do programming, you want to get your master crystal. Now you can start out with a smaller piece, and then as you move, let's say, into a quad system, for instance, you get a larger master crystal, and then the other one will become a supporting crystal. So you can do a transition. But best is you pick your master crystal, and it stays your master crystal for life. Now, in the orb, you have a crystal as well, which generates, and then below the orb, you will have a crystal too, because when we do the programming later on, we will be lying under the pyramid. We have our program, and we put a little lead crystal on our forehead, and we will lie directly underneath. The lead crystal is there as a transmitter only, and then it will transmit the program up into the orb, to the irradiator, goes back and forth, and then finally it ends up in the master crystal. Fred will explain that a little bit more too as he introduces all the different systems. So what you can start to think about is what kind of program you want to program here at the end of the seminar. Now we will write your system down, so maybe your program will hit and will manifest, or maybe it won't because the system won't stay here. But we still want to do it for real. And so later on, I will hand out some little pieces of paper, and you can write the program down. You want to be very specific with it, very clear. And as you lie under the pyramid, you just want to make it like one thought form or one mantra. However you want to do that, it can be an image, it can be a mantra, as far as one word or one sentence, and make that very, very strong. For instance, to give an easy example, you could program for a car. And so if it's like a Jaguar, you want to know what year and what color and what the specifics are of this program. If it's healing, you want to be very specific also with that. You want just don't want to heal the world. You want to be always very specific with it and make it very personal. Then when we put the lead crystal on our forehead, as you put the program, the thought form through it, you will feel that the lead crystal will start to vibrate. And sometimes then it rolls off your head. And then that's when the program is completed. It has connected all the other parts. So that's what we will do tonight, just to get a feel for that and to experience that, how you can work with the systems and how you can program them. Yeah, that's what I wanted to introduce real quickly. Also, some of the people have asked me again with different types of pyramids, so I want to give you just a quick review so you know which ones you have been wearing and what the different ones do. There is the power dome. Titanium is basic metal, and the titanium has a very large healing effect on the body. It's really the strongest detoxifier to bring toxins out of your body. That's why when you wear the power dome for a longer period of time, you might get a headache, you might get an uneasy feel, drink a lot of fluid. The silver one, the radome, which is an organ layout, silver, copper, and gold, also has a detoxifying effect because the silver itself in the pyramid shape will detoxify as well. So if you wear any of the silver ones, basically, the detoxification process takes place to drink a lot of fluid. Now, all the silver ones are very stimulating mentally, and they will increase your memory. All of such things, as you wear them over a longer period of time, every day a little bit, and so forth, you really will. You know, a lot of toxins will leave your body, even the ones which have been stuck in your brain for a long time, and you will see that you become a lot clearer again. Your memory, your balance, all those type of things will get better again, because they get worse and worse as we breathe in all the toxins, all the stress, all those type of things every day. The gold ones are more relaxing, calming, more, you know, have a very balancing feel to it. The Power Dome Gold is very, we use it like if you want to really get your creative energies going, you want to write, play music, those type of things, where you don't have the mind involved as much as, you know, thinking, listening, and so forth. So when you want to be more on a creative, intuitive level, then the gold one is the one you would probably use, the Gold Power Dome, or the gold one, which is called the Pure Dome, with the steel basic metal. So those are, you know, the different types. And since we have the pyramid up here and everything, there's so much stimulation, it is probably a little bit hard to tell which one you're wearing and what feels like what, and, you know. But definitely the Power Domes, when you wear the Power Domes, you can feel it, you know, onto the Power Dome silver, well, that it gets too much after a while. So if it does, take them off. And now let Fred get into the system, I guess. And he's all ready for tonight for us with the new synthesizer, which is a handheld one. And so tonight we'll have, when we do the programming in the system, he will play live for us, which he has done in seminars a few years ago, but he hasn't in probably 2-3 years, so that should be really fun.
Anybody have any questions for reading over your homework?
Yeah, one question. You know how the pyramids are crossed in order to amplify the power.
What do you mean crossed?
Well, I mean, like you take one pyramid and then you put another pyramid on an angle like that to get the crosses, and they're cupped one to the other. One to the other. And I'm wondering if I took the existing pyramids that I have and crossed them and made my own orb, if that would work energy-wise, or was that the dangerous thing to do? Like, for instance, to cross it like that.
It doesn't do anything.
And then it wouldn't do anything?
No, why we use that. We use that in our mineral charger, just to charge minerals.
Why wouldn't it amplify?
Because our systems aren't designed that way. You won't see that configuration in any of our systems.
The reason I brought that up is because a guy who was selling pyramids at the Whole Life Expo says, take your pyramids and cross them and then run them straight across in a beaded effect, one to the other, and then tie it with silk, and it will act as a charger. Put a steel rod in between with a crystal on each end, and you'll get the same amplification. And I was wondering.
Well, that's never worked for us. It worked for him, but all our stuff is designed with the magnetic field of the Earth and the relationship between the surface of the planet and the sky.
Well, if it's designed in connection with the magnetic field of the Earth, then how does your system differ from what I just mentioned?
Well, you need to understand our systems. Okay. And our systems are all developed on a technology. That's what that book was all about.
I haven't read it. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
It does explain it in there, and there are
a little bit. Yeah, that's like I was demonstrating yesterday, the pyramid upside down. Remember how that effect works?
Mm-hmm.
Female and the pyramid right side up.
Mm-hmm.
And where those two energies meet, that creates the zone, which is known as the scalar zone.
Yeah, well, when you went upside down and you cupped them together, that makes Solomon's symbol, in a sense, that it's that.
We're not into symbols.
Oh.
We're into the actual technology.
Mm-hmm.
And you could make a car really exotic looking if you want, but maybe it wouldn't run.
Yeah, I know. That's why I asked you. If I didn't have doubts, I wouldn't ask you. I would just go do it, wouldn't I?
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, I got a question, Fred.
Yeah.
I was talking with some people yesterday, and they said, well, Why would the government bother and the Graves bother going through all these procedures of developing viruses and stuff to kill out people? Why don't they just kill them off if they want to basically have a genetic pot and they want to have less people on planet Earth?
Or program to go to war?
I don't know. Ask the government. I don't know. Maybe they should. They speed the process up a little bit. I just know the Graves want to be as incognito as possible and as quiet as possible. They like to separate. I don't think that they, you know, without creating a massive war and screwing this planet up like they did previous ones, I don't think that program would work too well. It sounds like he's just skeptical of the whole thing in the first place to ask the question.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I did bring a picture this morning. If you can hand this around. These are some alien crystals that came out of a control system of a Reticulan ship. This is like, couldn't bring the actual thing because the CIA has control of it, but those are pictures of the actual crystals. It came from another world. Any questions on the systems?
Aren't all crystals from other worlds, when they fall to Earth, don't we get X number of tons of debris all the time?
Yeah, we do.
And so don't we sometimes get some crystals that drop because they're part of the cosmos?
Well, we use those in our receptors.
Okay.
We have a whole product line with those kind of things in it. These were mined and manufactured on another world.
Another question I had is about your zones where we're supposed to have enhanced energy price. Did you write about where these zones are located throughout the world so that you could be able to go directly to these individual sites, like Sedona, et cetera?
Well, most people know where they want to go. There's plenty of books that are written on vortex, and I'm not a vortex writer.
Oh, there are plenty of books that establish all of these sites.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we do is, rather than go to all the places in the world, we just bring pieces from the world here. It's a lot easier to control it. Some of you probably saw that drawing from the other book that I'm working on last night to get an idea how that tunes in. So when you get down into the center of the Earth, all of these vortexes are connected. So it's really easy to connect to the center of the Earth. And the idea of these systems is a sanctuary. Sanctuary is a very important thing for setting systems up. Like, we happen to be on top of a vortex, but a lot of systems aren't set up that way. And when they're not set up that way, it becomes necessary to sanctify the area where you install the system. I don't know how many of you saw the different entities that were coming and going last night, but there was quite a few of them in the room. Designed for us. The one that's up there now has got different crystal in it, mostly from South America and up on the western, in the northern hemisphere. We change the vibration of these omnions according to what we're using, what we're using them for. And now, and these have gone through quite a development phase, but they're real. What they're primarily used for is during the new moon and the full moon, you balance the conditions of the entire system. And so the omnion that's up there that you saw, maybe you noticed the omnion last night that was in the room. Yeah. That's one that's been very powerful, very instrumental in our systems operation for a number of years. It's only the second one that's ever been up there. Now that one you saw last night will be put on the marketplace for sale very soon because we're developing a newer one with some other kinds of energies, because we're going to change the frequency of the system. So this is a continual thing that goes on. We change these systems around for different configurations. Now that area last night, the energy was pretty powerful, and it was a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
Crocodile tried to burn the house
down. Yeah. that's
no,
not getting
it
absorbed.
Part of the show. I guess it actually was.
We were absorbed.
Then the power went off in the house at one point, and the music stopped. I don't know if that or not.
Yes. And I said, who have we got in this room that's doing that?
Yeah. All that is. What that represents is it's different people's energy trying to focus in that system, and you can see how out of control. It's like flying a helicopter, you know. You just make a little correction and the thing goes completely off.
Well, we have many different kinds of energy.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while to balance it. Yeah, it was a lot of work balancing last night. I had my hands full. I don't know if you noticed how busy I was, but those light shows to me are pure hell as far as the working side of it.
I know. I thought, how can you enjoy it like we
are? I enjoy it. What I try to do is keep the thing running. My thing is like keeping the ship in the sky, you know. It was a little wild last night, so I don't know how much, with all that confusion going on, that the centering and purifying and all the other stuff that was going on, I don't know how many entities actually. I started at the very end to see a few entities start to appear.
Yeah, they were coming through then pretty strong. And I was trying to count them, and they were passing.
This device here, you notice, it's a champagne reflector. It breaks down the veil, so they'll, because it works as a second etheric device where the others are interdimensional, it starts to work first. So normally your entities will appear in this one first when they start to come into the room. This one here is it's a crystal in there, and we're shooting a red laser into it to break it into the astral plane. And in the next picture here, we have a plasma spill. I didn't see this too much last night, but this happened earlier in the time when we were getting a house into this vibratory frequency. When you walk inside of a room like this over a period of years, your body gives off amino acids, and these amino acids end up going into the wood and all the materials that compose the room. Well, when you raise the vibratory frequency of these amino acids in a sanctified area, entities will come in, and when entities come in from the astral plane or the second ether, they'll start pulling out these amino acids. When the entities' forces, the astral emotional forces, react on these proteins that are in the walls and whatever, these amino acids, it's very similar to life starting on a planet. If you were to come into a world that has no life, and you put four amino acids,